It is good to see everybody. Amen. You know, let's see. What was that song that was being played? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is on page number 8. There's a little number down at the bottom of the page. It's page number 8, and it is song number 18. We're going to sing that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're going to sing the very next song. We're still on page number 8. Song number 19, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because it works the weak. It tells a mother's loving heart can feel my wound was warm. Sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Sing it again. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Oh, it is so good to be here today, to see everybody. Amen. Sometimes I fail to just introduce myself. People call me Pastor Paul. My name is Paul Denai, and I live in the Tulsa area. And boy, I love to come here a couple times a month. And the Bible says
that where two or three are gathered in His name, right, in the name of Jesus, there He is in the midst. And so we can honor God this morning. He is here. He is in our midst. And we are lifting our voices, lifting our hands to Him in praise. And now the very next song that we're going to sing I am on a different page, aren't I? Huh? Amen. We just sang, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." We are going to sing the next song. How many know this? Rock of Ages. Oh, yeah. Amen. That is song number 20. I kind of jumped the gun, went to the next page. Don't want to do that. Here we go. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the flood and the rhythm side which flows be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, see Thee on Thy judgment throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Amen. We're going to go to the next page. Page number 9, and we are going to sing Standing on the Promises of God. Boy, now that is the place to stand. Right there. Standing on the Promises of God. Amen. God, standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. My Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Now on the other side of that page, the blood will never lose its power. Amen. The blood will never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day.
strength from day to day. It will never lose
its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and withdraws to the lowest
gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Amen. One more song, and it's on the next page. Song number 24, There Is Power in the Blood. Amen. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power.
Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you serve to Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you lift David's praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. There is power. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Oh, it's so good to be here. I know that's probably the fourth or fifth time I've said that, you know, but it's just good to be here. Good to see everybody. Amen. I feel like I'm coming home. You know, like we're having another family reunion. Have you ever gone to a family reunion and then met somebody that you didn't know was in the family? Maybe somebody you didn't want to know was in the family. You know, I don't know. But sometimes that's how I feel. It's like, wow, I got a bigger family than what I thought I had, you know. Now, we're talking about the family of God. Amen. I mean, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're my brother or sister. I'm telling you now, we're in the family. It's a big family, and it's good to get together. Amen. And so we're spending a little bit of time together this morning. And I've got a verse here that I want to read to you. We're going to be talking about what we say. And how powerful what we say really is in our lives. That sometimes we don't consider that what we say can be very, very powerful in our lives. Now, Proverbs and chapter number 18, verse number 21, it says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue."
Oh my goodness. You think about that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now you could say it like this. Death and life are in the power of what you say. Isn't that something? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Amen. In other words, what you say, you see, it's gonna make a difference in your life. You will eat the fruit thereof. And so are we speaking life? Are we speaking death? Sometimes we think that death is negative. Now I'm going to share with you something that's a little bit different. Maybe you've not really seen it this way before. But we're going to take a look at the fact that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I've got a song here that I want to sing. And this song, it relates to what I'm going to be talking about today. And it deals with healing. Anybody interested in healing? Boy, I'm telling you, I am. I mean, I've been sick and I've been well. And well is better. I'm telling you, I've been sick and I've been well, and I'd rather have well. Amen. And so now, this song, it relates being well to the Word of God and how important it is. Now let me find it here. This song is called Just Ask.
You're wondering, is Jesus still listening to me? Is he truly aware of my suffering? And is this the way it always will be? Oh, my friend, I found the answer to your question, but don't take my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers, who've been there and their story lives on. Just ask the woman. The darkness, not wanting to walk one more mile. My mind filled with unanswered questions, hiding tears behind every smile. Oh, but my friend, I gained strength from those pilgrims, the ones who were first to believe. When their faith reached out to touch him, his arms reached back to help them, and he's able to do the same for you and me. Just ask the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb tell it all, ask the man. been touched by His hand. Can He handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer. They'll know the answer. They'll know the answer.
Amen. The Bible has the answer. Amen. And so now we're going to take a look here at this verse again. Proverbs 18 and verse number 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Sometimes, like I said, we have a tendency to think, well, you know, speaking death, I mean, that's probably not a good thing, you know. Well, how about this? I have a friend of mine. He lives down in Gore, Oklahoma. Anybody know where Gore is? It's not too far from here, actually, just a little farther south. I used to live in Gore. And so I have a friend down there. Now, several years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he wasn't feeling well. Just over a period of time, just wasn't feeling well at all. And so he decided to go to the doctor, get some things checked out. The doctor took a lot of tests. And finally, they went back to the doctor, and the doctor had all the results. And the doctor said, well, I don't have very good news. He said, we have discovered that you have cancer. And not only do you have cancer, but it's stage 4 cancer. And so this is not good news. Well, now, of course, you know, that comes as a shock. And so it took him a little while to really realize, wow, that this is a big deal, you know. And so now he began to look into the Word of God more than he ever had before. You know, he's just looking into the Word of God, and of course the doctor had come up with some a plan, you know. Some of the things that the doctor wanted him to do, taking several different kinds of medications and going through chemo and all of those things. And my friend, he said, now, Doc, he said, I'm going to do everything you tell me to do. Man, I'm going to hit this hard and heavy. I'm going to do everything you tell me to do, and I'm going to do everything that the Bible tells me to do. And he said, I am going to speak to this cancer. Now you think about that. Wow. He didn't say, I'm going to pray about this cancer. Now he did eventually. But now, first of all, he said this. I'm going to speak to this cancer. And he said, I'm going to tell this cancer to die in my body. I'm going to tell it at the very seed, at the very root of this cancer, I'm going to tell it to die. Now, you think about that. If you were able to tell cancer to die, would that be a good thing? See, now we're talking about death here, but now that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? If you can tell sickness and disease, if you can tell cancer in your body to die, that would be a good thing. And so now here you take a different look, a different approach at this verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So now, my friend, he said, he told the doctor. He said, Doc, I'm going to do everything that you tell me to do, and I'm also going to do everything that the Bible tells me to do. I'm going to speak to this cancer, and I'm going to tell it to die. And the doc looked at him and he said, boy, that I've never heard that before. He said, where did you come up with that? And so my friend, he said this. Mark chapter 11. He said, you remember when Jesus spoke to the fig tree? And he told that fig tree to shrivel and die. He cursed that fig tree. And the very next day, Jesus and his disciples went by that same place. And the disciples remembered what Jesus had done. And so the disciples went off the path and went to that fig tree to find out. Now here we are, just approximately 24 hours later, you know, the next day. And so now the disciples are going over to this fig tree to figure out, well, I wonder what happened to that fig tree. See? And they went over to that fig tree, and that fig tree was dead. Now the disciples asked Jesus, how did you do that? And really what they were asking was this, how did you do that, and can we do that? Now Jesus' response right here in Mark 11, and you can look this up. I'm reading out of the King James Bible here. Mark 11 and verse number 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, now that's a good idea, isn't it? No matter what's going on, have faith in God. Some translations translate that verse, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Well, now, what is the God kind of faith? See, it is the kind of faith that is able to change things. Now, you think about this. Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10. It says this about salvation. That if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now see, isn't that something that you say? It's believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, Jesus went to the cross and died, but he rose from the dead. He is alive today. See, you got to believe that he's alive. And then you have to speak with your mouth that he is your Lord. He is my Lord. And the Bible says that when you do that, you shall be saved. You see? That is the God kind of faith. It's the kind of faith that believes in the heart and then speaks with the mouth. Do you realize when you go clear back to the very beginning, back in Genesis, and when God began to create things, he said, I mean, just verse after verse, and God said, let there be light. And God said, see, it went over and over. He believed in his heart, and then he spoke with his mouth, and things came into being. Now, we don't have that kind of power. Not that kind of power that God has, but we operate the same way. And he has given us parameters in the Bible to operate by. One of them is salvation, you see. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we begin to operate in the God kind of faith. And it changed things. I started to change the course of my life. I'm no longer in the kingdom of darkness, but now I am the kingdom of God. I'm in the family of God. And that happened by believing something in my heart and then confessing it with my mouth. And so now here in the book of Mark, you see, Jesus said, how do you have that God kind of faith? He said, believe in God. Have the God kind of faith. And then he went on the very next verse, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, now here we see, it's not just thinking about it, it's saying it. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now this is what my friend was doing. He was speaking to his mountain, and this mountain was cancer. It was something that was in his way. He wanted it out of his way, out of his life. And so he believed in his heart that if he spoke to that cancer, it would have to go. Now, he was telling the doctor, this is where I got that. I got it from Jesus. Jesus was making this reference after having spoken to a fig tree and it died. Then he turned to his disciples and he said, you can speak to your mountain. And if you tell that mountain to be cast into the sea and do not doubt in your heart, that mountain will have to go. And so my friend said, I'm speaking to my mountain. And I'm telling it, just like Jesus spoke to that fig tree, I'm telling my cancer to die. At the very seed, at the very root. See? Amen. Now that verse is not prayer. Jesus did not say, pray to God that God will remove the mountain. He didn't say that. He said, you speak to the mountain and you tell it to be gone in Jesus' name. Now the very next verse. Now you see, let me back up here. A mountain is something that you do not want. And you speak to that. That did not come from Jesus. Didn't come from God. John 10:10 says, it's the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then Jesus went on to say, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so things that come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, Jesus said, you can speak to those things and tell them to be gone. And so my friend began to speak to the cancer. Gotta go. Shrivel and die in Jesus' name. But he also did everything that the doctors told him to do. So now he's operating in the spiritual and in the natural. He's doing everything he knows to do, you see. Now, this verse here, Mark 11:23, these are things that don't line up with the Word of God. Things that do not come from God. And so now Jesus said, you have authority now that you are in the family of God. Many of us call this the authority of the believer. What authority we have in the name of Jesus. You see? And so now, this verse, it talks about speaking to those mountains. You remember this verse? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Well, I'm loving it more and more. The more and more I learn about it, the more I'm loving it. I can speak to those things that are in my way, things that don't line up with the Word of God. But then the very next verse, Mark 11:24, then Jesus said this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray. So now he's shifted. Now he's not talking about speaking to the things that you don't want, but now he's talking about praying about the things that you do want. Now he said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And so now the process is the same. You believe in your heart, and you speak with your mouth. And so now speaking, when you talk with your mouth, it can be merely speaking, or it can be praying. It can be both. But you've got to believe in your heart in both situations. And so now, here he is, you see. He began to speak to the mountain. And then he began to pray. And he said, God, I pray that your healing power, your healing anointing, flow through my body, affecting a healing and a cure. I know that you love me and you care for me. And I have a mountain in my life. I'm speaking to that mountain and I'm telling it to go. And now I'm asking you, Lord, that your healing power would flow through my body and heal every single part of my being that needs to be healed. So now you see he's doing both. He's speaking to his mountain, but he's also praying to God about those things that God has promised that he would give us, you see, health and wholeness to our bodies. Now, he went through the process. He did everything the doctor said. He did everything the Bible said. I was with my friend just last Sunday. And now for the last 2 years, he's gone down to a hospital, I believe, down in Texas. They run tests and just check on things. And for the last 2 years, he is cancer-free. It's not cancer is in remission. It's cancer-free. They can't find any cancer anywhere in his body. Now, he went from stage 4 cancer to being cancer-free. And he said, I owe it all to my God. Amen. Now, you see, here we are. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. And so what do? We line up our words with the Word of God. And if there's anything that comes against us that doesn't line up with God's promises for our life, we have been given the ability to speak to those things and tell them to be removed. Tell them to be gone. Go ahead and be cast into the sea. That'd be just fine with me. Amen. Just tell it to go in the name of Jesus. And then those things that are in the promises of God, health, wholeness, all those things that he wants us to have, you see, because they come from God, we pray to God for those things to come into our lives. Those things that come from Satan, you see, it's the thief who comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Anything that comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, we can speak to and tell it to be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, what we do is this. We stand on the promises of God. And the very first promise gets us into the family of God is salvation. We're kind of making a big circle here. And so now we come back around Romans 10, 9 and 10. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Now that is the process of the God kind of faith. And so in every area of our life, when it comes to the promises of God, we look at the promise, we believe it in our heart, we confess it with our mouth, and it shall be. Praise God.
Now, you know, sometimes we get hung up when we don't see it immediately. We think, oh, well, I guess it didn't work. No. Now, think about this. You remember that Jesus said that the believers, this isn't just ministers, this isn't just pastors, but the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, that word recover connotates a period of time. It doesn't say that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will immediately be healed. No, it says they will recover. And so we've got to keep the switch of faith turned on. You know what I mean by that? Just continue to believe. Even when you don't see anything immediately, you've got to believe. Now, wait a minute. I did exactly what the Bible said. It says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I am recovering. You just begin to line up your words with the Word of God. See? Don't say, well, it's not working. No. You say, I've had hands laid on me, and they prayed for me, and the Bible says that hands would be laid on sick, and they shall recover. That's the same verbiage, the same words that we use when it says, thou shall be saved. See, it's the same thing. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and thou shalt be. And so this all takes place with believers. Those of us who are in the family of God, those who believe, we have this ability, we have this authority, because it's been given to us by Jesus. It's the authority of the believer. Many people don't quite go this far. And sometimes they think, well, you know, it just happened and you know, God's will be done. Yeah. Well, the Word of God is the will of God. And so what does the Word say about particular situations, you see? And whatever the Word says, that is God's will. And so then we have the right to believe the Word because it is His will. Well, I just don't know for sure. You know, if it's God's will to heal me, He'll heal me. No, that's really not true. Because we have the part to play. We have to believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and then believe that it shall be. I'm standing on it, and I'm not letting go. And so, I'd like to close today by singing Standing on the Promises of God. And you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you are believing. Now, we're going to go back. I think it's on page number 9. Yes. Page number 9, song number 21. And we are going to sing Standing on the Promises of God. Now, we have so many people in here that we could be standing on a variety of different things, standing on different promises, depending on what your needs are, what you know, what it is that you need. But there is a promise for every need that we have, and we can stand on those promises. Standing on the Promises of God.
Standing on the promises of God.
the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. Standing on the promises of God.
We're going to sing that again.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. We are standing on the promises of God. I'd like to close in a word of prayer, and if you would, just hook up with me in this prayer. We are going to stand on the promises of God. Father, we just come to you now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we can see in the Word, believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth is the God kind of faith. And Father, we did that when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we know that we can do that with the other promises in the Word. Father, there are a variety of needs here this morning. But we are all standing on the promises of God. We are believing in our heart. And we are going to continue to confess with our mouth the promises of God. And the Bible says, it shall be. And Father, we thank you that the promises of God are ours. That Jesus went to the cross for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so, Father, we stand on these promises. We give you the praise and the glory today because we know that you are faithful to your promise. And Lord, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Glory to God.